All right, take your Bible, if you would. Go back, if you would, please, to the second chapter of the book of Galatians. And I want to finish tonight our introductory messages that we've been preaching as we look at the series now on the life which I now live, as the Apostle Paul has communicated from Galatians 2:20. We have spent time on that word now. We have said that that word now really conjectures about three great truths or thoughts in our mind when we talk about, and Paul references this life which he now lives. The first was contrast. There was a life previous and there is a life now. When we learned about that contrast, we learned that the contrast was hinging on the theme of justification. And we know that justification is another word that would describe salvation. It's a word that describes our legal standing spiritually before God. And this is what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we are sinners, through him our wage has been paid, the debt has been paid, and in him we find legal standing in the position of righteousness. And so in contrast, Paul said, I used to try to achieve that by the works of the law. In our vernacular, the works of the law would be doing good things or good deeds or trying to somehow merit from within my ability to justify myself, or self-righteousness, trying to find righteousness not in Jesus but in myself, as opposed to faith in Jesus. So the works of the law, which no flesh shall be justified, or by faith in Jesus, which is the only way to be justified. And Paul talked about that contrast. I've preached enough about that. You know that. It also brought to us the idea of conversion. And Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so the life that he now lives is a new creation life. He's been made a new creature. There's been a conversion in him that the gospel has brought and the Lord Jesus himself has done, where Paul has identified in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and he's been made new. And Paul really boiled down to the churches at the region of Galatia when he said at the end of the chapter 6, he said, fellas, let's just make sure we understand something. When it comes down to salvation, the number one thing that matters is that you've been made a new creature. You can profess all you want to profess, and you can trust circumcision or not circumcision. You can do all these things, but there's only one thing that evidences new life, and that is the new creature that you have become or been made by the Lord. And he would later say in the book of Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So he had been converted there. And the law was vain and empty and powerless. And the law could not create in him this new creature. The only reason that this new creature was created was because Christ liveth in him. That was the conversion part about that. I've preached on that this morning. You can listen to that. And tonight I want to talk about the confidence of this life. And really and truthfully, I think this is so helpful for the believer on a Sunday night. The Apostle Paul, in that word now, even hearing that word now and reading it, it just reeks of confidence. And he says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live, and here's the confident part about this, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so Paul knew eternal security. Paul knew the confidence of justification. Paul knew that he was saved. Sometimes people tell me nobody can know that they're going to heaven. The Bible says we can know. And so Paul was confident in trusting Christ, not trusting the law, but trusting Christ. He was confident for his eternal destiny, But he was also confident in living this new life. You remember the Judaizers thought, how could you ever not live an immoral or ungodly life outside of the law? They thought you had to live under the law to do that. And Paul says, no. You see, you don't understand. The one who has fulfilled the law lives in me. And now the righteousness of the law that Jesus has met, that he will work out in my life. And so he had a wonderful confidence that he lived his life by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for me. Paul was so grateful to God for salvation by faith because, really and truthfully, there was no other human way to have salvation. And sometimes we make it so complex, and there is a little bit of complexity to it as far as identifying myself as a sinner, identifying what Jesus has done. But when you boil it down, all of us can believe. All of us can exercise faith. Faith is something that is not hard to exercise. You're exercising it right now as you sit there. When you came in, you chose where you wanted to sit, and you just plopped your blessed assurance down, right? For some of you, that was a good light plop. For some of you, it was a different kind of plop. I don't think any of you went. You first. You just came in and you just plopped yourself down, trusting this to hold us up. Faith is not difficult. It's just believing. It's just trusting. And so the Apostle Paul, he's evidencing this confidence. He was so thankful to God to be freed from the law as a means of justification. He had been taught that from the school of Gamaliel all the way up through in his life. He had been taught that if you were going to be saved, you got to do good. You got to keep the law. You got to do this. You got to earn God's favor and merit. And he was so thankful that justification came differently. Watch how he words this. Find, if you would, Romans chapter 8. Let me just read you his commentary on this thought, and I think it will unfold right before your eyes here as you see what he is about to do. He says in verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. All the law could do was condemn us because we fall short of that. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in who? It's Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now watch this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now verse number 3 ought to ring. You ought to be able to follow this mentally. All the messages I've just preached to you, you should be able to follow this. For what the law, the Ten Commandments, could not do, in that it was weak through the what? So I said this morning, there was nothing wrong with the law. It was righteous. The Bible calls it good. The inability for the law to bring about eternal life does not exist within the law. It exists within the sinful flesh of humanity. We are the problem. We cannot be good and we cannot merit our own righteousness. We cannot do those things. So in that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, watch the remedy here. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Watch verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled where? Not by us. In us. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so the law is righteous. The law has a righteous demand. But what that the law could not do in my life, and what it cannot do in your life, and what it could not do in Paul's life because of my sinful flesh, God, knowing that, said to his Son, I want you to go and become a man. I want you to go take on human flesh. I want you to be found in fashion as a man. And I want you to humble yourself unto death, even the death of the cross. And I want you to reconcile man to me. I want you to go down there and perform the law. And through your performance of the law and through your sinlessness and through your obedience, I want you then to offer your life a ransom for many. If you've received that ransom, say amen. So the law was fulfilled in me, not by me. Now come back to the passage here. Paul in Galatians chapter 2 was so thankful to be freed from that. He worded it being dead from the law. That was that he was no longer under any obligation to obey it or be enslaved to it as a means of justification. Then enabled him in verse number 19, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might say those three words, live unto God. So Paul said, this is the purpose of being freed from the law, is that as a Christian, I have the ability to live unto God. For the whole part of our Christian life, the believer is to live for God's sake, obeying and serving and glorifying the Lord. And so the only reason that I'm able to obey, serve, and glorify the Lord is because of what Paul said in verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ, say it class, liveth in me. And so Paul says, I'm so confident in the person of Christ that I'm so confident in the love that he had for me and that he offered himself for me. I'm so confident in who he is and what he has done. And he was so merciful and gracious to give himself for me that it freed me from the law, from that desire of or that demand of justification in that way. And it enables me now to live my life unto God. Now, I do believe most Christians want to live pleasing to the Lord. And really and truthfully, this is what Paul is teaching, how we can do that confidently. You know, since the believer has been freed from the law and been justified by Christ and Christ lives in me, my old man has been crucified with Christ, which means that sin no longer has dominion over my life. The old sinful life no longer can assert itself as the head. There is a new nature in me. Christ lives in me. And the Spirit of God is superior to my flesh. The Spirit of God has given me victory over my flesh. And it enables me, with Christ living in me, to confidently live my life unto the Lord. And so many people struggle with this because they think somehow, even Christian people, think that somehow God saves them and then it's up to them to live an obedient life by themselves. Once God saves you, he never leaves you by yourself. Ever. He lives within us. And his Spirit is within us. And as the Lord Jesus lives within me and the life of Christ works, he begins to work in my life. And so the Lord Jesus begins to cultivate in my life his own person. And the Word of God does this. The Spirit of God does this. My life becomes a mirror of the life of Christ as far as his virtues, his character, his power. He is the one that enables me to know holiness. He is the one that enables me to know faith. He is the one that enables me to know joy. He is the one that enables me to go forward here. And Paul said, the life that I now live, he's not just talking about that being converted part there and being saved. He's talking also about the way he lives his life. Because remember, the Judaizers were trying to pull them back into some type of legal transaction. And Paul says, I don't want to live my life in some kind of legal transaction. I want to live my life unto God as Christ liveth in me. Tell me you understand that by saying amen. And learning how to confidently submit ourselves to that. Paul was living his current Christian life by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for it, depending upon the Lord for strength, depending upon the Lord for wisdom, depending upon the Lord for victory, depending on the Lord for guidance, depending upon the Lord for patience and grace and mercy. None of those things were in the law. The law did not know patience. The law did not know grace. The law did not know mercy. The law did not know kindness. All of these things we find in the Lord Jesus. And this is where I'm going with this series. The life that we now live is a life that is evidence of Christ living in me. And Christ came into me as I put my faith and trust in him. And then Christ works in me and through me as he lives in me by his faith. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as I'm in the word of God and I'm studying the word of God and I'm applying the word of God, then I find that faith develops and growth develops. And the life that I now live as a Christian, this life that I now live in the flesh, I don't all of a sudden just live it by my will or by my intention or by my abilities. I live it underneath the power of the Holy Spirit of God as evidence to Christ living in me. And so many Christians, they're not confident in what Jesus can do in their everyday life. They trust him for salvation, but they don't trust him that he can help them overcome anger, help them overcome bitterness, help them have forgiveness, help them to know joy, help them to know patience. And somehow they want to revert away from him doing these things in their life. I love Colossians chapter 3, and I'll close in Colossians chapter 3. So make your way there and listen to how Paul words his daily living as he lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. And I think it's a confident way, and it ought to be a confident way that you and I live. I have a study Bible, and I don't know if you have a study Bible right there or not, but at the top of chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, my study Bible says, the new life. Does anybody else have that, any word there? The new life where? In Christ, right? So let's begin. Verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So this is our desire here. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your love, your desire, on things above, not on things on the earth. This is the life in which you now live. Those of us that have come to faith in Christ, those of us that have Christ living in us, then we seek those things which are above. We set our affection on heavenly things. Now look at verse number 3. You've heard this. For ye are what? Dead. Right. So that old man has been deposited with Christ. He's been crucified with Christ. He's been identified in the death of Christ. There's a new man now. And watch. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our what? So the life which I now live, that's why Pastor says it's the Christ life. When Christ, who is our life? So here's what Paul's saying. There was no life in the law. There was only death. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, who is my life. You know, Jesus has a simple time living his life. We make the thing complex. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now watch this. Mortify, take death therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. We're going to talk all about this. Uncleanness, inordinate passions or affections, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake say those three words, wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived how? So remember this morning, Paul said, if I build again those things which I have destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So he was talking about the fact of those people turning away from faith in Christ and coming back into a lawful relationship where they tried to somehow merit righteousness by their deeds. And Paul said, as soon as I begin to bring up the standard of righteousness that God has in his law, immediately it reveals to me how wicked I am. Immediately it stirs up my fornication, my lust, my sexual, sensual, wrongful desire. Immediately it stirs up my uncleanness and my inordinate affection. Why? Because as the righteousness of that law is compared into my behavior, I understand that I will never reach that level of perfection through my sinful humanity. And so all of those things get stirred up. However, when I come to faith in the Lord Jesus and the life of Christ is in me, then my old man is crucified and all of that evil finds its covering under the blood of Jesus Christ. So when my sin appears, No. I'm not in that position. I am new life in Christ. I'm not trying to deal with that myself. I'm letting the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And Paul said here in verse number 7, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. And look at verse number 8. But what? Oh, there's our word. But what? Now. But now, this is the life in Christ, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now watch this. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And who created that new man in us? The Lord Jesus. So what he says is, listen, that old man under the law, boy, he just was exposed. But there has been now, since Christ has entered into you, the creation of a new man that enables you to put off the old man and confidently live this life now in a position after the image of the Lord Jesus. That means that as his life is in you and he works in you, pretty soon his life shines through you. And this is something that he does. It's not something that you and I can manipulate. It's something that we allow him to do as we read his word, as his spirit works upon us. And then as we put on the new man, we are able to see him in our life. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on, say the word, charity. That's the new law. The new law that we are created unto is the law of love. And this is the work that Jesus does, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Paul was so confident in the life in which he now lived, as he lived it by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for it. And I want to preach to you in the next few Sundays confidently what a life of faith in the Son of God looks like, what he's able to do in our lives, how it unfolds and beautifies that new person, that new image that we have been created in. But I promise you that coming to faith in Jesus to be justified is wonderful. Amen? But so is life in Jesus. And so many people don't understand the life that we get to now live in and of the faith of the Son of God who lives in me. There is no better life to live on this earth than the Christ life. And I trust that we'll live it confidently. All right, let's have our prayer. We'll have our business meeting.